Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's Ocado analyst call. Throughout the conference, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Now I'm very pleased to present the Chief Executive, Tim Steiner. Please begin your meeting, sir.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here also with Duncan Tatton-Brown, our CFO. Hopefully, you've had a chance this morning to see our news that we put out on the RNS earlier, and hopefully, you're all sitting at the moment with an investor deck in front of you. For those of you that aren't, you can find it on our corporate website, ocadocorporate.com, and you'll find it under the investor presentation section. For those of you that have got it in front of you, if you can just flick through with me quickly, and then we'll go to Q&A afterwards. The deal we've announced this morning with Morrisons is extraordinarily attractive to Ocado. It's going to enable us to massively increase our investment in R&D. It improves our economic model with a significant sharing of costs and faster utilization of our fulfillment capacity. It validates our operating model and provides a template for future IP licensing deals. It strengthens our balance sheet, reduces our finance costs, and crucially, it leaves our existing retail business and Waitrose agreement unaffected. It's a long-term deal of 25 years. Over the last 13 years, Ocado has developed unique end-to-end systems, from our own customer interfaces, including our mobile apps that now serve over a third of our business, all the way through our supply chain, our warehouse systems, simulation systems, the van and routing software, and our last mile delivery applications that our drivers use to deliver outstanding Ocado service. We're now commercializing that intellectual property and our fulfillment expertise. Today, Morrisons is the first customer of our IP and fulfillment expertise, but we have the opportunity to add further customers in different sectors and other geographies. Our agreement with Morrisons supports further enhancement of this hugely valuable intellectual property. We're bringing a virtuous circle of scale benefits to the Ocado.com retail operations. Through this deal, we will enable faster coding, improving our customer proposition, improving Ocado.com's growth, increasing our profitability, increasing our IT resource, and continuing the virtuous circle. There is no change to the existing Ocado.com retail business. Our contractual arrangement with Waitrose is unchanged. We will continue to buy with Waitrose under our sourcing agreement. The Ocado.com proposition will remain the same. Ocado.com will continue to stock Ocado and Waitrose own label products. Ocado.com will not stock another UK retailer's own label products. Customers of Ocado.com will continue to benefit from the highest levels of service, the widest range of products, and competitive prices. The question some of you will ask is, why help a competitor? To us, it's clear. Morrisons was committed to entering the online market already. Demographically and geographically, they all have very different strongholds. Our data suggests very, very limited customer overlap. Helping another competitor to grow the online grocery channel is good news for a dedicated player. What are the key terms of the transaction we've entered into? We've got technology and licensing services. There's an upfront payment by Morrisons to Ocado of £30 million to license our current technology and intellectual property and cover initial integration costs. There'll be an ongoing IT annual fee. It's 1% of sales up to £1 billion, and it tails off thereafter. There's a management fee of 4% of operating costs and an annual research and development fee for the continued development of our intellectual property of up to £8 million per annum. And we also have a services bonus fee that is a minimum of the 25% of the positive EBIT of Morrisons.com for the first 15 years. In addition to which, we've entered into some sale and leaseback transactions of property and equipment. We've entered into a 25-year sale and leaseback of the Dordon CFC, our new facility, the land and buildings, with Morrisons as our new landlord, at a price of £82 million. 50% of the annual rental, £4.9 million in total, will be on charge to Morrisons PLC for their use of 50% of the building. The material handling equipment in the building has today been sold to a joint venture, 50-50, owned by Ocado and Morrisons. Ocado receives cash of £55 million at completion, plus a 50% share of the joint venture. I'll hand over to Duncan now to go through the financial impact.
In terms of the benefits of the deal to Ocado, we would expect to see, in the first full year of operation of this venture, a mid-single-digit percent of our revenue coming from this operation. That's through the various fees and recharging of costs that we charge to Morrisons.com, the amortization of the initial £30 million upfront payment, and our rental income relating to the 50% share of the land and buildings in last mile developments and the mechanical handling equipment. In terms of profitability, this should be significantly accretive to our net profitability in the first full year. We estimate a mid-teen million pound benefit to not net profit, comprising mainly of service fees and cost sharing arrangements, less than overall increase in interest payments caused by additional interest on the MHE lease. The impact on EBITDA is greater than the impact on net profit by about 4 to 5 million because part of the profit impact is the increased interest charge, which is a non-cash impact of the finance lease. Underlying interest on our borrowings reduces as we intend to repay the CapEx facility in full. On to cash flow, we would receive on completion an estimated £165 million and an ongoing annual cash flow improvement around £5 million less than the profit improvement, primarily because the profit improvement includes an amortization of the upfront fee. Going forward on cash flows, we will expect to bring forward the building of future CFCs, but because those future CFCs are likely to be shared and we expect to lease some future CFCs, that would reduce our capital expenditure. We expect to begin the search for a third fulfillment centre during the second half of 2014. Just to complete the initial presentation, we expect this transaction to be a Class 1 transaction, so we will prepare a Class 1 circular for distribution with shareholders and issue that with a board recommendation and expect a general meeting. Completion of this deal expected in our third quarter this year. Perhaps we can now hand over to the moderator for questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. You can always withdraw a question by pressing 02. I repeat, that is the number 0 followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad to register for questions and 02 to withdraw. And the first question comes from the line of Andrew Gwynn from Exane. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi, good morning all. It's obviously a great deal. Well, it certainly looks to be a great deal, so congratulations. You don't normally say that, but anyway. First question would be, obviously, Waitrose, you said there's no impact, but clearly the market talking quite extensively about the 2017 potential cancellation or whatever it may be. I'm just wondering if you can make a comment. Does this increase the likelihood, do you think, that the Waitrose withdraws the sourcing agreement at that point? The second one would be, just to help me understand, who's actually doing the, say, picking? Is it still going to be Ocado? Is it going to be Ocado staff? How does the sort of van delivery work? Is it going to be shared vans or anything like that? I'm just wondering if you can just help us out on some of the sort of slightly more practical details.
Hi, Andrew. Morning. Let me try and take that in two halves. I think on the 2017, clearly, there is no reason for this to affect whether there is a renewal or not, or the decisions made by us and by Waitrose at that point in time. Actually, this is good news for Waitrose and good news for Ocado.com customers because it's going to enable us to increase the investment, increase our R&D expenditure every year, and continue to improve our service and improve it at a faster rate than we could have done without having this deal, enabling us to sell more Waitrose products than we did before to more people. So we think this is good news for our relationship with Waitrose and good news for Ocado.com customers. To your second part of your question, yes, Ocado will be operating the fulfillment centre in Dordon. We will be picking groceries for ourselves. We will be picking on behalf of Morrisons, groceries for Morrisons customers. They will be delivered in a Morrisons owned and liveried van. There will be no Morrisons groceries in an Ocado van. There will be no Ocado groceries in a Morrisons van. They will be two entirely distinct businesses. Morrisons are using our intellectual property and some of our services to help them run their business.
Okay, that's very clear. And just coming back to Waitrose, I'm just wondering if you could elaborate. I mean, have you spoken to Mark Price? Obviously, you had a sort of fairly outspoken interview last week. I'm just wondering if you make any comments on that front.
I mean, I don't have any comments on it. It's quite clear that we have a sourcing agreement with Waitrose, and as we've clearly stated the whole way through the news flow from this deal, obviously, which is subject to a considerable amount of confidentiality, and therefore we haven't been able to have full discussions with all of the partners that we might like to. Obviously, we've been very clear that this transaction will not breach any existing agreements that we have.
Okay, thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line of Jonathan Pritchard from Oriel Security. Please go ahead. The line is open.
A couple of things for me. Firstly, the current trading statement, I'd rather suggest that's a bit disappointing given you've just opened the new distribution centre. Did that actually make you think that you needed a new partner to raid the north, as it were? And secondly, just to come back, can you just give me a one-word answer to Andrew's question? Have you or have you not spoken to Mark Price or anybody from Waitrose about this?
So on your first question about our sales, we're quite pleased to see the rate of our sales growth increasing and that continuing to increase. So we're pleased with that, and we didn't see any need to enter into any transactions with anybody. If you went back to our first 2000 original business plan, followed up in 2010 with our IPO prospectus, it clearly states that we're going to look to monetize our intellectual property, and this is the first transaction that we've managed to do that. So this has always been part of our business strategy. Come to your next question. I don't think it's really appropriate for me to discuss the exact nature of calls between myself and any of our supply partners.
Okay.
And then the next question is from the line of David McCarthy from Investec. No, the question has just been withdrawn, so if I could give you instructions again, that is 01 if you would like to register for questions, and then 02 obviously to withdraw a question. 01 now, please, if there are any further questions on the call. Okay, we had another question registered from the line of Andrew Waite from Numis. Please go ahead, the line is open.
Yeah, Oliver Cardigan from Numis. Hello?
Hello, Andy.
Hi there. Sorry, don't know what that was all about. Could you just run us down the mid-teens improvement? We've obviously got the in profitability. We've got the $6 million from the license, the $3.5 million from the IT. I don't know, five or a bit more from the half of the fixed costs, and then the $8 million R&D. Even if you don't include anything from the variable side or the profit share, which we probably won't in the early years, is there going to be some additional costs to get us down to the mid-teens?
Yeah, well, Andy, perhaps if I run through. So the first one, there's three larger elements that drive that mid-teens improvement in the short term, because we are not assuming any bonus fee for a number of years. We're certain that Morrisons can build a profitable business in this space, but clearly not on the first year of launch. So the three big areas generically are the fees that we earn, the sharing of costs, and on an underlying basis, our interest savings. So on the fees, just a couple of points on that. The 30 million initial fee is part license fee and part to cover integration costs. So we will incur a mid-single-digit cost of implementation for this.
Okay.
So it's not 30 million over 5 years, it's call it 25 over 5 years.
Okay.
And particularly in the early years, we would expect the fees that we earn on IT to be about neutral. So we will incur some costs for setup of additional servers for them. Importantly within that, I am assuming no benefit in that mid-teens of the R&D spend. So the R&D spend will enable us to improve our proposition. I am certain that That spend will mean that we have a stronger business and we will be able to improve our sales growth, but I haven't factored any of that in. So that just assumes that we spend the additional funds that we get to improve our business. So the second item is the cost sharing, and I think you quoted a reasonable figure for that. And then lastly, you have the underlying interest saving. So as I said, overall interest will go up because of the MHE finance lease and the accounting impact of that, but that is a non-cash effect to Ocado. Underlying interest costs will reduce because we receive 165 million of cash on completion, which will clearly transform our balance sheet. So the mid-teens is, broadly put, a third in upfront fees amortization, cost sharing saving, and interest saving.
Yeah, that's very helpful. I think that that squares the circle. Second one, in terms of looking for future CFCs, you say you'll be commencing by the end of 2014, commencing a search. You know, given how long CFC 2 took in gestation and creation, and presumably, well, that seems quite a long way away. Would you imagine the lead time on another CFC being shorter than that?
I think clearly having built a facility like Dordon, building a replica of it will take less time than the first one. So yes, it should be a shorter gestation period. Obviously, we'll review the growth of both businesses and ensure that we invest capital in a timely fashion to make sure we have enough capacity to grow what are two exciting businesses.
Yeah.
And Andy, maybe just to supplement that, of course, we may have a quality problem, and if the quality problem that we continue to accelerate our sales growth, which we've done now consistently for four quarters in a row, each quarter improving the sales growth over the previous quarter, and Morrison's business starts and grows fast, will create a small problem for us, which we'll need to accelerate the growth, the opening of a third performance center. But those are quality problems to have, not issues.
Agreed. On non-food, the agreement doesn't cover non-food. Would there be potential for that to be included in a future agreement?
Andy, look, I have no idea. We've just gone through a very complex transaction focusing on the grocery market, which, as you know, is almost half of retail spend. So that is where the focus of this agreement is.
Fine. Great. That's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line of Frank Walding from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. The line is open.
Good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Hi. So I had two questions. The first one was just on the kind of the operating challenges of running, as you described, two businesses from one CFC. So to what degree could you sort of help us understand how you've been prepared in your thinking on CFC 2 for kind of for this type of arrangement? And then my second question would be, you make comments with regard to international discussions around licensing. Is that something that we should expect in the near term? Are those conversations ongoing?
On your first question, I would say that we've built a very advanced fulfillment center in Dordon. It's the accumulation of many years of learning and experimentation in Hatfield. It had a lot of excess capacity in certain areas, and it also had a lot of capacity for range beyond our current aspirations for Ocado.com. That incremental range capacity is allowing us to fill those slots with the Morrisons.com range, which we can therefore pick in the same facility. So we'll pick totally separately the Ocado.com range and the Morrisons.com range. The rest of the facility can handle any incremental changes that are involved with running orders on behalf of two customers effectively through that building. So we'll have a little bit of work to do between now and the go-live date, but fundamentally the building can handle it. On the international front, I would say that we are approached frequently by people who would like to enter into discussions, but our primary focus over the last few months has been on this current transaction.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line of Jean Gachot from Exane. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I seem to have gone a bit French there. Frank's picked off my main question, but just perhaps expand on the sort of operating challenges and even into more colour. You said you'll pick separately. Will the sort of totes for a Morrison customer and an Ocado customer come along the same conveyor belt, or will they be physically separated within two bits of the facility? And then perhaps just to the Waitrose customer perception of the Ocado offer, back to the, I suppose, the Mark Price angle. Let's assume the risk has increased, that you've annoyed Mark Price and he doesn't want to sign a deal again for whatever reason. What would your customer reaction be if that occurred, and how can you mitigate that?
So let me take this. I think there's two distinct questions there. The first one I would say is that, you know, in my own street before, I've seen Ocado vans drive down it, and I've seen Tesco's vans drive down it, and they share the same road. In the facility, customer totes for Ocado will share the same conveyors as customer totes for Morrisons.com, but that will have no bearing on any other part of the business. On your second question, I think it's too early to speculate about what's going to happen in 2017 right now. I think it's too early to speculate as to what other products that Ocado.com would offer to its customers were Ocado and Waitrose not to decide to renew that agreement. And I think it's far too early to speculate at what the customer reaction might be to the various different options that would be presented to Ocado at that point in time. I think it's just really worth remembering that Ocado.com is a phenomenal customer proposition with a direct relationship with those customers who want to enjoy a very high quality of service and product from Ocado, and Ocado will ensure that they continue to be able to access a very high quality service and a very high quality product in 2017, no matter what happens.
So I don't mean to push back on this point, but it does need to be considered today because it is your sole supplier, and you obviously had to make an informed judgment in deciding to do this incremental licensing agreement. It looks a great deal, but clearly there is a risk if Waitrose walks away that you will not have the same proposition in terms of offer for that customer base. So perhaps, again, can you give us a bit more colour on what your existing customers think in terms of your brand perception? Is it a Waitrose business, or is it clearly distinct?
So we believe that our customers are shopping with Ocado.com to get outstanding service and a great quality product, and we're confident in our ability to continue servicing them with outstanding service and great quality products into the very distant future.
John, perhaps just to remind people of some of the facts that we quoted at our full year results. Last year, the sale of Ocado own label products grew by 70%. Even though the range that Ocado offered was only modestly increasing. We sold, on average across last year, 15% of own label products for Ocado, growing towards the end of the year. Today, our contractual constraint has increased from 20% of own label that we can sell to 30% of own label that we can sell. So, you know, 2017 is a long way off. Our customers are increasingly buying Ocado own label as well as Waitrose own label, and buying from an extensive range of branded suppliers, the most extensive range in UK grocery supermarkets, and therefore we have plenty of options in the future. But coming back to Tim's point, it's too early to speculate what might happen in 2017.
That's clear. And then just one final follow-on on the operating side. How much incremental staff do you think you're going to need to recruit in which areas, and what are the risks that you can't get the quality quick enough?
I don't think that we see a risk there on staff recruitment. I mean, we built the facility to do £1 billion run rate of sales. Whether that was £1 billion run rate of sales for Ocado.com or £500 million for Ocado.com and £500 million for Morrisons.com, it will require the same headcount. So obviously what we're doing here is we'll be accelerating the ramp up of the facility beyond where it may have been before, because we're going to put two businesses growth through the facility, but we see no issue on staff recruitment in that area. The last time I checked, the country was not in the finest economic shape, and there were lots of people who were looking for work, and so we'll be delighted to offer them opportunities.
Get on your bike, quite right. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
And the next question comes from the line of James Tracy from Epben Partners. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Two questions for me. The first is on the logistics of how the deal will work, especially for products, say Coca-Cola, that Morrison's customers and Ocado customers would want to have. Would you have to have two separate deliveries for Coca-Cola, one purchased under the Waitrose agreement and one purchased under, you know, presumably delivered by Morrison? That's the first question. And the second question is just, where do you see margins over the medium term, given that you've got this new deal? I know you've said in the past a 10% EBITDA margin, long-term desire, you know, where do you think it could go, taking into account the new deal? Thanks.
So to answer the first part of your question is, yes, we will buy Coca-Cola through our Waitrose agreements for our Ocado.com customers, and Morrison's will buy Coca-Cola through its existing relations for Morrison's customers. We will store that Coca-Cola in the warehouse and pick it respectively for Ocado customers and Morrison's customers. To
margins, perhaps, James, I won't really answer the overall impact of that, but answer it obliquely. You know, we're estimating next year a mid-teens improvement in profitability, mid-teens millions improvement in profitability, and we've indicated that revenues next year will be in mid-single digit of the total revenue will come from this segment. If you do the maths, you get to about 40-odd million, 45 million, call it, of extra revenue next year from this, and call it mid-teens, if I call it 15 million of extra profit. You know, that impact on its own is quite substantial as a margin effect, but clearly we'll need to wait and see over the coming years. This is undoubtedly margin improvement, but it's the day of announcing it, so let's give it some time to settle down before we start predicting too much the next 3 or 4 years.
Okay, thanks for that. And do you think that you've burnt your bridges at all with Waitrose based on your discussions with them, or, you know, no change there?
I think that once the excitement has died down, the rumours and things that have passed around, and actually people look and reflect on this transaction, that it should have no bearing on our relationship. As I said before, this actually is a good deal for Waitrose, because it will enable us to accelerate the growth of our business through an improvement in our customer proposition, enabling us to source more products, distribute more Waitrose products to more people, and pay a larger sourcing fee to Waitrose. So I think in the fullness of time, once some of the, you know, incorrect rumours of what we may or may not have been doing fall away, that people will reflect and see that.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line of James Griffin from Jefferies. Please go ahead. The line is open.
Yes. Good morning. I just had a quick question in terms of balance sheet structure and how you're thinking about your cash flow. Given the improvement today, do you think that incremental funding capacity is taken care of by the need for CFC3 being pulled forward, or do you think you can look at international corporations in a more capex-involved way?
Yeah, James, I think the effect of this deal means that we would end up with the order of a little bit over 100 million of cash on our balance sheet by the end of this year. This deal will improve our annual ongoing cash generation, and therefore we're in a strong position to enable both the investment in a third fulfillment centre and optionality about other strategic moves. It's important to note that our deal with Morrison's is not only for the existing fulfillment centre in Dordon, but it also enables us to work together on future fulfillment centres, which we may well decide to do on a leasehold basis rather than a freehold basis, so further reducing the initial upfront cash requirement. So we think the impact of this deal substantially improves the optionality and flexibility for the business without constraining its capacity growth.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question is from the line of David McCarthy from Investec. Please go ahead, the line is open.
Yes, good morning.
I just wanted
to get a bit more precise information on when could you open CFC3. You know, how you've said you could speed it up and it won't take as long, but what is the earliest that you could open it if you started searching in 2014?
David, it's a slightly complex question, I'm afraid, so I can't give you a very direct answer. It depends on whether we choose to put in exactly the same infrastructure as we have done in Dordon, in which case it's an 18 to 24 month build from a wheat field to a fully operational building. The timelines would obviously come down because the amount of testing and commissioning and the new software that we would need to write would be minimal. We may move to do something slightly different, which might involve some more testing, but there are also some projects that we've been working on here at Ocado in our intellectual property area that might allow us a much faster ramp up of new facilities and may allow us to enter existing buildings rather than needing to build them custom. So there's a lot of dynamics in there. Obviously, we and our colleagues at Morrisons will obviously look at the capacity that we both need and see what the growth of our businesses is and consider the different options that we have available to us and then decide the appropriate timing.
Okay, so for the Ocado business, let's ignore the Morrisons side of things, Wayne. For the Ocado business, what's your current level of capacity, and how far are you away from that? How many years' growth, 15, 20% before you hit capacity?
Well, so our existing facility in Hatfield has a capacity to 150,000 orders per week, which is just below the level that we're trading at the moment. The new facility we've just opened, we've turned it on with capacity of 120,000 to 130,000 orders, of which we will now own half. But there's a small incremental second phase that we've always spoken about that will take it up to around 190,000 orders a week, giving us incremental capacity of 95,000 orders, which is 63% headroom from where we are roughly today, 60-odd percent growth. And that's before we make any enhancements to either Hatfield or to Dordon to extract even more capacity out of them. You know, when we first built Hatfield, we stated it would do 120,000 orders of £85, an order in our original assessment of it, and we took it up to 150,000 orders of £110. So we're quite good at working over the years of how we can get more capacity out of the existing facilities. So we've got at least 60-plus percent headroom, but I imagine we'll eke out a bit more.
So you're confident that you won't need any extra capacity for at least 3 years?
I'm confident that if we see the growth opportunity to need extra capacity in that period, we'll find a way to extract it.
Right, okay. And then just coming back to a comment you made earlier, I just wanted to clarify. You said that this has no impact on the Waitrose agreement. Just want to clarify, is that a cast iron legal fact that they would agree with, or is that your view on the situation?
I think it's clear. I can't speak for other people's legal interpretations of documentation, but I am cast iron clear that this has absolutely no bearing on the Waitrose agreements.
But that's your take and your legal advice on it. It's not a kind of joint statement, is what I'm asking.
I'm not in a position to make joint statements on behalf of the John Lewis Partnership or on behalf of Waitrose, but I can tell you, cast iron, this agreement that we're entering into today with Morrisons does not cause any issue to the existing arrangements with Waitrose, definitively.
Okay, thank you.
And the next question is from the line of Xavier Demen from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's actually Andrew Kasoulis from Credit Suisse. I just wanted to understand what your customers think. I mean, you said that you believe the customers are shopping Ocado.com. I just wondered what your customers think when you survey them. Do they think they're Ocado customers? Do they think they're Waitrose customers? And how has that changed over the years?
When we survey our customers, they're very clear that they shop with Ocado.com. Obviously, they want a high-quality product, and we sell a fantastic product from Waitrose that we're delighted to sell and delighted to work with them. Over the years, obviously, the Ocado brand within our business has obviously has become greater. We've also, as we talked about before, seen a very significant increase in Ocado own brand products within our shop, and a significant increase in products that we sell that you could never buy in any Waitrose store. Today, about a quarter of the baskets of our customers are products that aren't available in any Waitrose branch. So our customers are very clear that they're shopping with Ocado.
But you've actually asked them that question. I mean, I know I don't want to labour the point, but do you ask them, are you Waitrose or are you Ocado customers?
I mean, Andrew, we ask them lots of questions, and we form our own views as to what the information tells us. And so, you know, we're clear as to who our customers think they're shopping with.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, should you have any further questions, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. I repeat, that is 01 to register any further questions. And then we have one from the line of Charles Allen from Bloomberg Research. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So I just wanted to ask one other logistical question. Will Morrisons have access to the Ocado trunking and network distribution or sites?
So the answer is selectively yes.
Thank you. And does selectively include the Greater London and South East area?
I think what it means in respect of existing trunking assets and spoke sites, it means that where we have excess capacity in our spoke network, we can use that capacity with Morrisons.com. Where we haven't got excess capacity, we'll look to increase the capacity.
And Charles, it's worth saying that there is a further business model benefit to both us and Morrisons of being able to share spoke capacity. It means that we can have more smaller drive time spokes rather than fewer spokes with larger drive times. So a half size capacity works economically and the drive times reduce. So a further enhancement to our model.
And would additional spokes be, I didn't see them covered in the agreement, but would they have a similar sort of leasing arrangement that you've described for the Dordon facility?
We would have similar ones where either party could own the site but share the costs of that site based on the agreed capacity for that site.
Okay, thank you.
And we have no further questions registered. I hand the conference back to you.
If there are no further questions, we'd like to say thank you very much for your time this morning. This is a very exciting time for our business, and we're sure that people will see it over the next coming months. And this is good news for the Ocado.com customers and good news for Ocado Group. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this now concludes our conference call. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your lines and have a nice day.